Please turn with me in your Bible this evening to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, while you're turning, let me welcome you to the service tonight. It's good to see you here this evening. I always look forward to Monday nights because I like to see who the hearty ones are. And I appreciate you being here. Trust you had a good Monday. If you had a typical Monday, I hope it's getting better as a result of being here this evening. I trust you've come looking for what God has for you from His Word as we gather together to study His Word this evening. Appreciate your faithfulness. I trust you'll continue to invite, encourage others to join us. If they can't make it tomorrow night, at least later in the week. We'll look forward to what God has for us from His Word this week. John chapter. There are a few things that are more picturesque than a shepherd with his sheep out on the hillside. You see a picture of a shepherd with his sheep, it always seems to give kind of a sense of tranquility, security, peace, and calm. And it's no wonder that God often uses this metaphor to give us a picture of His relationship to His people. In fact, one of the Psalms that's most popular, the one that people most often turn to in the times of sorrow and grief and pain, is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we find that in our passage this evening, God gives us some important eternal truths using this metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep. Let me read the first 18 verses here in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Before we examine this passage of Scripture this evening, let's take a moment and ask God to speak to our hearts. As you pray silently this evening, ask God to answer two questions for you. First of all, are you a part of Christ's flock? Are you one of His sheep? Secondly, if so, how closely are you following the shepherd? What is your relationship to your shepherd this evening? Ask God to speak to your heart, then I'll pray, and then we'll examine God's Word. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity that You've given us to gather together this evening. We thank You that You've given us Your Word to instruct us, to encourage us, to challenge us, and to convict us where it's needed. And Father, I pray that as Your Spirit ministers Your Word to our hearts and lives tonight, I pray that we'd be willing to respond in the way that would draw us closer to Yourself, would bring us into greater conformity to Your Son. I pray that if there are those here tonight who've never truly been born again, Father, I pray especially that You'd impress upon them the urgency of the hour, the necessity of trusting Christ for their salvation. And Father, I pray that tonight they would trust You and You alone for the salvation of their soul. Father, I pray that You direct our thoughts, help us to focus on Your Word and to apply it to our lives this evening.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've done much reading of Christ's ministry during His time on earth, you are very much aware of the fact that during His ministry, He had a running battle with the Pharisees. They were constantly sparring with each other, most often verbally, but once in a while it got physical as well. In verse 31, we read that the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. And the Pharisees, who were the religious crowd, were constantly questioning Jesus Christ. They were questioning who He was. They were questioning what He was doing. They were questioning His teachings. And essentially, they were rejecting His person, who He was, and they were rejecting His doctrine, what He taught. And we find that because of this, it was necessary for Christ to be continuously making the distinction between that which is true, that which is false. Making the distinction between mere religion and true salvation. And so we find that in our passage this evening, He turns to the metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep to make this truth very clear, very evident, and to reinforce it in the lives of His hearers. We find that He points out, first of all, that He is the door. There in verse 9, He says, "I am the door." Now this is the third of nine I am statements that Christ makes in the book of John. That's an interesting study. You want to get to know Christ a little better, understand who He is a little better. It's a good study to study the times that Christ says, "I am," in the book of John. He says in chapter 6, "I am the bread of life." In verse 8, He says, "I am the light of the world." Here in verse 10, He says, "I am the door." Later in the chapter, He says, "I am the good shepherd." And even later in the chapter, He says, "I am the Son of God." In John 14, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in verse chapter 15, He says, "I am the true vine." And so we find that He expresses who He is, the essence of His person, by His I am statements in this book. But tonight we find in our text that He says, "I am the door." He is making it very clear to us and to those He was speaking to on that occasion that He was the door. He was the entrance into the fold of God the Father and to being one of His sheep. I think the reference here is to the folds that the shepherds used during His time period. Many of the cities, the small towns, had a main shepherd's fold in the city. At night the shepherds would come in, they'd put all their sheep in a central fold. I don't think that's the fold He's talking about here, because they also had folds that were out among of the countryside. They were remote folds, if you will. And they're out in the field, scattered out, so that if a shepherd couldn't get back to town with his flock, he could go to one of these little pens that had been constructed out in the countryside away from the town. They're basically a small wall high enough to keep sheep in, and they're made in a circle. They had one opening that went into the pen. The sheep would go in there, and this one opening had no door. So what the shepherd would do was he actually slept across that opening into the fold. He literally became the door to that sheepfold. If anyone was going to enter the fold, they had to go through the shepherd. Had to crawl over him or walk on him or go through him. But he became the door to the fold. And so Christ is saying, if you are going to legitimately enter into the fold of Christ, I'm the door. You must go through me. He is the only entrance into God's fold. He is the only entrance into salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And I hear people saying, "But that's kind of a narrow-minded view. You need to be a little more open. Aren't there many roads that lead to heaven?" No, Jesus said there is one road. He is the door. He is the one way of salvation. And folks, we need to be diligent in letting people know that there are not many options to getting to heaven. There's only one route of salvation. That is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. There's so much confusion on this in our society today, and we need to be heralding the truth. Jesus is the door. He is the only entrance. And He makes it very clear that anyone who tries to get into the fold without going through the door is a robber and a thief. In verse 1, He says, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." you can be sure that if someone is trying to gain entrance into the fold by some way other than through the door, they are a robber, they are a thief, there is illegitimate activity taking place. You're driving home from church tonight. You drive by a neighbor's home, you see someone climbing in the window. Probably your first thought is not, well, that's kind of a neat way to enter your house. We ought to try that at home ourselves. You know, that might be more fun than going through the door. That is probably not your first thought. Your first thought is probably either they just locked themselves out of their house, they got the keys are inside, or you're saying, I think someone's breaking into that house. That must be a robber. Someone is breaking in. They want to rob and steal of that house. If they're not going through the door, most likely it is an illegal, illegitimate activity. They are robbing. They are stealing. And those who seek to enter the fold of Christ other than through Christ, try to enter by climbing the wall, they're seeking to rob God in two ways. They're seeking to rob Him, first of all, of His glory. See, God designed salvation so that all the glory goes to God. He has designed it so that it is by His grace we have nothing to brag about as human beings. But those who think, well, I can climb the wall, I can get into the fold somehow other than through Christ, what they are doing is seeking to steal the glory from God. That's why works-based salvation is so popular with men. It feeds the ego. They can look and say, look what I accomplished. I did this to earn my salvation. And they can bring glory to themselves rather than giving the glory to God. Works salvation brings glory to man. Salvation by grace alone brings glory to God. Those who seek salvation without Christ are seeking to rob God of His glory. But they are also seeking to rob Him of His authority as God. You see, God as God has a right to design salvation in whatever way He pleases. And He has designed it in a way that satisfies both His justice and His mercy. When someone says, I don't like God's plan of salvation, I want to come up with my own way to heaven, or I want to add to it or subtract from it, or I want to tailor it to my own desires, what they are saying is, God does not have a right to establish salvation as He sees fit. He does not have the authority to act as God. I'm going to take that authority upon myself. And they are robbing God of His authority. You know, it's tragic that there are men, and I have to say women, standing in pulpits across America today who are actually encouraging people to try to climb the fence rather than going through the door of Jesus Christ. They're telling their people, well, just do the best you can. Get baptized or join the church or get your good works to outweigh your bad works and you'll go to heaven, you'll be a child of God. Just be good enough, you can make it. And they're encouraging them to try to do something which is impossible because you cannot enter the fold of God by climbing the fence. The only way is through faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. The sad thing is, many of these so-called preachers are giving false assurance, which is going to lead to judgment and damnation in the lives of many people who are believing what they are saying. They are giving them a false assurance. And it's a tragedy that there are many who have great assurance, great confidence of where they're going to spend eternity. But it is not a confidence that is built upon truth. It is not a biblical assurance. How many times have when you try to talk to people about salvation, have you heard them say, well, I'm good, I'm ready, I know that I'm going to make it, I have confidence I'm going to heaven. They have great confidence, but the problem is, where is the source of that confidence? And too many times their assurance is based on that which cannot legitimately give them assurance of salvation. Their confidence is in what they are doing or seeking to accomplish on their own. Confidence does not mean they have salvation. Having great assurance does not necessarily mean they are saved, unless it is a biblical assurance and a biblical confidence in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Those who claim salvation without Christ, they are robbers and they are thieves. Those who encourage others to have a salvation apart from Christ, they are robbers and they are thieves. Jesus is the door. He is the only door, the only way of salvation. So Christ makes that very critical point, which was crucial for the Pharisees, And it's crucial for us tonight to understand He is the only way of salvation. But then He goes and picks up the main metaphor. Beginning in verse 11, Christ says, "But I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He says, "I am the good shepherd." And He points out the fact that the shepherd provides for the sheep. He says, "I provide life." He provides salvation for His sheep. He saves them from destruction. Now, Christ makes this very clear. This is in contrast to the hireling. The hireling does not lay down his life for the sheep. In fact, he flees when there is danger, because he is more concerned about himself than he is about the sheep. But Jesus says the shepherd, the true shepherd, is willing to even lay down his life to provide salvation from destruction for his sheep. There are actually stories told of shepherds in the old days who died protecting their sheep, trying to protect them from robbers or from wild animals, who actually died protecting the sheep that had been given to their charge. Good shepherds. And of course, Christ here is referring to the fact that He Himself is going to put down His life willingly in behalf of His sheep. He is going to die the death of crucifixion. He's going to shed His blood in sacrificial, substitutionary death, that His sheep might be delivered from the destruction and damnation of sin. He lays down His life willingly to provide salvation. And He makes it very clear that in His case, He not only will lay down His life, He will take it back again. He will be resurrected from the dead, and we know that that is already historical fact. He has already died, was buried, and rose again, fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament, demonstrating that He was, in fact, the Messiah who had been prophesied throughout the Old Testament, that He was, in fact, the Son of God, who rose from the dead as God the Son of God, victorious over sin and death and Satan. He provided salvation for His sheep, for those who will trust Him as our Lord and Savior. But not only does the shepherd provide salvation, He also provides sustenance. Look in verse 9. In verse 9 He said, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." You see, it was the shepherd who provided for every aspect of the sheep's need. He led them to food. He led them to water. He tended to their injuries. He took care of them when they were sick. He met every need of the sheep. You see, sheep, when they are left to themselves, tend to get themselves in big trouble. Reality is, sheep are not really very smart animals, which indicates to me that's probably why God uses sheep to represent us, right? I can really identify with that. But sheep are not very smart. And so the shepherd has to take care of every aspect of their being. And we are really just like sheep. Left to our own desires, our tendency is to wander off. Our tendency is to get ourselves in trouble. Our tendency is to go in the wrong direction, just like the lost sheep that is mentioned in Luke chapter 15. And it is necessary for the shepherd to go out and find that sheep. Now, it's interesting that if we have any sense at all as sheep, and most of us have at least a little, hopefully, it makes sense that we will stay as close to the shepherd as we possibly can. If we have any wisdom whatsoever, we're saying, "I can't take care of myself. I don't know what's best. I don't know where to go. I don't know what's best for my life." It makes sense for me to stay close to the shepherd, because He knows what's best and He wants what's best, and He has committed Himself to providing an abundant life for His sheep. As Christians, we want an abundant life. We want a life now that is worthwhile, that has purpose, that has meaning in light of eternity. And God wants us to have that life. But I think most of us tonight are very much aware of the fact that this life that we are currently living is temporal. It is short term. I've noticed as I get older and older, it seems like more and more, almost every week, I have a friend or somebody I know who's dying, stepping into eternity. And we're constantly reminded of the fact, this is short term. This life is temporal. We're just passing through in this present condition. And as wonderful as it is to have an abundant life, to invest our life in light of eternity, What really matters is the preservation of eternal life, of the eternal soul that God has given us. And He has provided eternal salvation for His people. He has protected us. He gives us sustenance in our lives as His sheep. We need to stay close to the Shepherd by spending time in His Word, time with His people, time walking with the Lord in our daily life. But not only is our Shepherd a provider, He is also a protector. He protects us from the enemies that are prowling in our spiritual life. In verse 12, He talks about the wolves that attack the flocks. Sheep always had predators that were looking for a free lunch. They're always looking for an easy meal. And so the Shepherd had to be on his guard because there were always these predators, these animals that wanted to come in, grab one of the sheep, or disrupt the entire flock of sheep. Christ protects us from the enemies we have spiritually. Because folks, the reality is we have predators in our lives as well. There are those who would love to destroy you spiritually. Satan is always looking for an opportunity to disrupt your walk with the Lord and to disrupt the flock of Christ, to disrupt even the local church. And God protects us from those enemies. And one of the means He uses is by providing under-shepherds in the local flocks that God has established. He has given us pastors, shepherds, that are to protect the flock. Now the problem is, again, there are many who call themselves pastors who are really hirelings. They are not interested in protecting the flock. They're interested in protecting their position or their job. There are many people in pulpits today who refuse to preach the truth unless it's popular and profitable to themselves. They've refused to stand against falsehood and error. In fact, they'd rather embrace it and link arms with those who are false prophets and preaching false doctrine. But faithful shepherds follow the example of Christ Himself. They will do what is necessary to protect the flock. They will expose the falsehood and error. They will expose false prophets and false teachers. And they will do whatever they need to do to protect the flock of Jesus Christ. They build and they protect. I think a good pastor is like the builders in Nehemiah's day. When he said they were working on the wall, they worked with one hand, they had a weapon in the other. They were building and they were protecting. I think it's a great picture of a faithful under-shepherd protecting the flock of Jesus Christ. And the shepherd protects us from the wolves, from the enemies. And he protects us from eternal destruction as well. Down in verse 28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He protects us, He protects His sheep from eternal destruction. That is the most valuable possession we have as the sheep of Christ. Eternal life that is our present possession. He says, I give unto them eternal life. Notice that He does not say, I will give unto them eternal life. He said, I give. He has already given it to us as believers. 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us, we have eternal life, present tense, even now as the children of God. He gives us eternal life. When does eternity end? It never ends. He says we will never perish. When is never over? Never. It is never over, so we have eternal life and we will never perish. When God saves, He saves for all eternity. Paul says, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What a blessing to realize that those who are truly saved need not fear losing that salvation. We need not fear it being taken away. We have double protection. Christ said, nobody can pluck them out of my hand. Next verse, He said, no one can pluck them out of the Father's hand. We're in a double grip by the Son and the Father. We possess eternal life. What a great comfort. What a great encouragement to those who know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it's very important for us to make sure that we are indeed in the flock of Christ, that that is our possession, that we possess eternal life. He is our provider, and He is our protector. And it's interesting to notice the personal relationship that the shepherd has with the sheep. I should point out, again, just for clarity, that not everyone is one of God's sheep. Not everyone is a child of God. We hear so often that all mankind, there were all the children of God. Well, we are the children of God in the sense that we're all created by Him. But we are not all His children in the sense of salvation. And Jesus says that there are those who are not in His flock. There in verse 26, He says, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of My sheep, as I have said unto you." There are those who are not in the flock, as well as those who are in the flock. But we find that the shepherd has a personal relationship with his sheep. He knows them personally. There in verse 3, he says, "So the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Isn't it interesting that God knows His sheep personally, individually, by name? It's fascinating to me that Christ, if we had every believer on the planet in this building tonight, He could go down every row and call every one of us by name. He knows you by name. He knows you personally as an individual. Why? Because He died for you. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. He knows His own sheep. We look at sheep today, and if you see a flock of sheep, if you're like me, you say, "Yeah, sheep is a sheep is a sheep. How do you tell one from the other? They all look alike." But the shepherd knows his sheep. And the reason why the shepherd knew his sheep even back in biblical days is because they had such personal relationship with them. When they got ready to put their sheep in the fold at night, they had the door there where we already spoke about. And the shepherd usually put his staff across the door. The sheep would come, get ready, go into the fold, and the first one come up, and the shepherd kind of check him over, look over that sheep, make sure he's okay. He'd lift his rod, the first sheep would go in, he'd drop it again. He'd look over the second one, make sure he's okay, he'd lift it up, put it in. Every day, he's touching, looking over every sheep of his flock. He got to know them personally, individually. We look at a flock of sheep, we say they all look at the same. Shepherd looks at a flock of sheep, and he knows those sheep individually. I have a friend out in southeastern Colorado. He's a cattle rancher. I think they ranch about 12,000 acres, run about 1,200 head of cattle. So we got ready one day. We thought, well, let's go do a little horseback riding. And we went out riding through the herd out there. And we're riding along. And he's talking about this one. Yeah, this one had a problem. Or this one over here had to give that one a shot the other day. Better check him out. And this one over here, that's kind of an interesting story. That calf belongs to that cow. And we got him from this certain sale over here. And he's going through talking about all these cows. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, you know, he knows these cows. To me, again, a cow is a cow is a cow. I look at a cow, they all look the same. But he knew each one of them, knew their story, knew what they were. Why? Because he was in among them day after day after day. And God knows his sheep personally. He knows us as individuals. Not just casually know us. It's not just an acquaintance that he has, someone he's heard our name. He knows us intimately. He knows us personally. He is concerned about every need we have as an individual. Listen, God knows you tonight if you're a part of His flock. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows your burdens, your concerns, your questions. He knows all about you from the inside out. And He knows the solution to all those needs, all those struggles, all those problems. He knows you. He knows the solutions. He knows what's best. He wants what's best in our lives as His sheep. He knows us personally, and He knows us accurately. He knows who is and isn't in His flock. He knows who is a child of God and who's just playing the game. He is not deceived by an outward facade. He is not deceived because we talk a good talk. He knows us as we are accurately, either as His children or as those who are not a part of His flock. He knows us as we truly are. He knows His sheep, and His sheep know Him. In verse 4, He says, "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth forth before them. And His sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." The sheep know the shepherd. We spoke of the common fold that many of the towns had where the shepherds came at night. When they were close enough to town, all the shepherds would come into town. They put all their sheep in the same fold. Usually they hired someone to take care of the sheep overnight so they could go home and sleep in their own bed, spend all the time with their family. So all these sheep, all these flocks are mingled in the main fold there in the town. Next morning, about daybreak, the shepherds would all come to the outside of the fold, and the porter would open up the door, let the sheep out, and the shepherd would start calling their sheep. All the sheep would start going to their own shepherd. Why? Because they knew the voice of their shepherd. Why? They've been hearing it all day. They knew that's the guy who leads me to food. That's the one who's been taking care of me. That's the one that's been mending my broken leg. And they were drawn to the voice they knew. They knew their shepherd. They were drawn to that shepherd because they knew he cared for them, took care of them. We as believers know the voice of our Savior, and it ought to be His voice to whom we are drawn. We know Him and we love Him because He first loved us. You know, it's profitable for us periodically as believers to ask ourselves, whose voice do I find myself being drawn to? Am I drawn to the voice of the world? Do I find myself being drawn to the voice of the flesh? Do I find myself being drawn to false teachers? Do I really find myself being drawn to the voice of Christ, the voice of truth? His sheep know His voice, and they follow Him. Again in verse 4, it says, "And the sheep follow Him." Disciples follow Christ, just like sheep follow the shepherd. You remember back in Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus got in the boat, we read that He was entered into a ship, and His disciples followed Him. That's what disciples do. They follow the Master. They follow Jesus Christ. Did the disciples know where Christ was going? Probably not. But they trusted Him. They said, if He's going, we're going too. We're just going to follow Him. The shepherd leads the sheep out in the daytime. Do they know where He's going? Not likely. They just follow the shepherd. Why? Because they trust Him. They have confidence in Him. They know that He will take care of the needs of their life. I don't think the sheep spend a lot of time consulting with the shepherd about, you know, I found another pasture on the other side of the hill. Why don't we check this one out today? Now, they don't discuss it with the shepherd. They don't argue with the shepherd. I don't think they give suggestions to the shepherd. They just simply follow the shepherd because they know He is going to lead them where they need to go. If we have trust and confidence in Jesus Christ, we will be willing to say, Lord, wherever You lead, I'm willing to follow. I will be that living sacrifice. I give You the control of my life. I'm not interested in fighting You. Not interested in second-guessing You. Lord, here's my life. You do with it as You see fit. Because I trust You. I know You love me. I know You're all-wise. I will follow where You lead. If we find ourselves following the world, following the flesh, following our self-desires, we need to ask ourselves what shepherd is really our shepherd. Because those who are saved will follow Christ, the Good Shepherd. Do you know the Good Shepherd tonight? Does He know you as a part of His flock this evening? Do you have biblical assurance that if you were to die tonight, you'd wake up in heaven? Do you have confidence based on the Word of God that you are indeed a part of the flock of Jesus Christ? Is there evidence that you are following the right shepherd? If you've been trying to climb the wall, trying to get into the flock by good works or through religious ceremony, my friend, that is a futile effort. It cannot be accomplished. There's only one way into the fold, that is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I urge you tonight to trust Him to enter into the fold through the door, the way, who is Jesus Christ. As believers, the question we need to answer tonight is how close are we to the shepherd? Are we following closely or are we following at a distance? Do we find ourselves getting distracted by the things in life and kind of wandering off to the side? Instead of keeping our eye on the shepherd, staying close to Him so that we can experience His best in our lives as individuals. Are we listening to His voice? Are we heeding and following His Word? Are we staying close to the Savior, to the shepherd? Be a faithful follower. Jesus said, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 27, He said, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Are you in the flock? Are you following closely to the shepherd this evening?